Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is again. We come together for Wednesday night Bible study. I pray that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I pray that they realize how thankful they are for the things that God is doing in their lives. Now we enter the Christmas season. There's so much to do and so much going on. But we have to keep in mind what is the true reason for this season. I first and foremost need to thank God for allowing us another opportunity to come together to fellowship in the Word of God here on Wednesday night Bible study. I also would like to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and share the Word of God with me. As all you would like, if you would like to talk, pray, give encouragement at the end of this broadcast or anytime during a broadcast, what you need to do is press the one button on your phone and I will be able to open the mic for you. And at that time, you would be able to give your comments. Well, before we get started in tonight's lesson, for those who's going to follow the lesson in your Bible, we are coming from the book of Luke. And we're going to be in the first chapter, and we're going to start at the 26th verse, and we're going to go all the way down to the 28th verse. The title of our lesson for tonight is God Sends Jesus, a Savior to the World. God Sends Jesus, His only begotten Son, to be a Savior in this world. So if you got your Bibles, Luke, first chapter, 26 through the 38th verse, and I'm going to play some delightful Christmas music talking about Jesus and what he was coming to do. And as soon as the music goes off, we'll be back with the lesson. Enjoy the music. Thank you. One moment, the music went off. I apologize.
Thank you.
And that was Yolanda Adams. It came up on a midnight clear. And here we go into the lesson. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke. As always, I want you to know that Luke was a Greek, which made him a Gentile. But he was a Christian. And for those who don't know that a Gentile is anyone other than a Jew. In the world, there's only Jews and there is Gentiles. And because we are not Jews, we are then Gentiles. But the Gentiles also believed in Christ. And they were Christians, but they were Gentile Christians. And Luke was a doctor. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples. I just always give y'all that. Because a lot of people think they do because of the four Gospels. But Luke is also the writer of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts combined with the book of Luke is more than 50% of the New Testament. So Luke has a lot of writing. And it shows that he has a lot of knowledge. And he had something to say. Because if God, who allowed men to write the Bible, but everything they written was inspired by God, we can see that God used Luke. And if you pay close attention to the two books, you would see they go together, and it can almost be like one writing and divided into two. You see, Luke is the only Gentile author in the New Testament. And I'm sure that God allowed Luke to write so that he could attract the Gentile audience. The Gospel of Luke explains the birth of Christ, but Dr. Luke, as though he were the attending physician, he provides most of the details surrounding this awesome occasion. With a divine father and a human mother, Jesus entered history as God in the flesh. Before we go in the lesson tonight, we should visit this question. I'm sure everyone at some point asked himself, why did Jesus have to come? You see, when God created the world, everything was perfect. You see, God is a perfect God. So why wouldn't he create total perfection? And then God created the world, and he created man. And you see, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the world, and everything that was made perfect was no longer perfect. Everything that was perfect became imperfect when sin entered the world. You see, God's original plan was to fellowship with his creation and mankind all the way through eternity, which means forever. You see, the book of Genesis means the beginning. Chapter 1 begins with the creation of the world, the heavens, and the earth. Creation marked the absolute beginning of the temporal and the material world. God created everything from nothing. Everything from nothing. And man can never create, even though they think they can. You see, that's why man can only invent, because man needs something that is already created to put together to make something different. And he calls it an invention by connecting things together. But anything he could connect and anything he could put together, God had already created. God creates, man invents. The second chapter of the book of Genesis, you see, the heavens and the earth was finished. So God ended his work, and then he rests. Then God created man. He created a perfect man to live in his perfect world. That should have been nice, huh? You see, Adam had full reign over everything. Everything he had reign over. Everything. And then you see, whatever he needed, God had provided. Adam didn't go and create, get, and make, and hustle or work at that time for anything. Everything he needed was at his disposal. because God had created this for man. God had placed Adam in a Garden of Eden and saw that there was no suitable helpmate for him. So God made woman from the rib, and he was taking that he took out of Adam, and he made her and brought her to him. You see, the Garden of Eden was a pure paradise. Now, I just told you about the first chapter of Genesis and the second chapter, and here we come to the third chapter, and we see that man had messed up. The third chapter of Genesis, man fall from grace caused by sin. Remember, everything that they were given, it was given by grace. And, you know, people are saying they didn't have grace back then. But you see, grace is an unmerited gift, unmerited favor. And why I call it grace? Because Adam didn't do nothing to get everything that he was enjoying. Adam didn't do anything to get everything that he needed. It was provided by God, and I call that grace. And it was undeserved and unmerited. You see, man's life of leisure had come to an end. Now, they were out of grace. Their relationship with God was broken. They realized that they were naked because when sin enters, watch this, y'all, when sin enters anything, anybody, any situation, when sin enters, innocent disappear. And how I thought of this and came up with this, which after after the Holy Ghost gave it to me, I started seeing how real it was and how true it was. Because we look at our little children today, and they don't play the games like they used to, and they don't do the things that they used to, because the world is so full of sin. And as I said, when sin enters, innocence disappears. And I guess an analogy that I could use for that is light and dark. You know, they say when you're in darkness and you come to the light, darkness is no longer there. If you go in your room and the room is dark, you cut on the light, darkness disappears. So when sin enters, innocence disappears. And at that time, they inherited a sin nature. Then we see the first prophecy in the Bible, and it was given by God himself. Genesis 3:15 said, I will put enmity between thee, which is Satan, and the woman, which is Eve, and between her seed, which is Jesus, and it shall bruise thy head, and they shall bruise his heel. What I'm saying is man had fell by the third chapter of Genesis with all of the wonderful and marvelous thing that God had did, all the provisions, all of the master plan. But you see, I'm trying to show you how awesome God is. Man fell in the third chapter, and God was rescuing in the same chapter with a prophecy, with a plan, that he would still save mankind. Because remember, sin had separated us from God. God cannot dwell in sin. And you know, in the Old Testament, they did the sacrifices to be all right with God, but they couldn't cover their sins. But God said, I got to make a way where the sins could be taken away. And he talked about this, and this is in the third chapter of Genesis, and God is talking about what he's going to do by sending his son. See, God had a master plan before the foundation of the world. God gives hope to mankind with this prophecy, and he lets us know how faithful, loving, and kind he is when dealing with his people. You see, Mary also knew this prophecy, and she was looking for the Messiah. See, she was looking for the prophecy of the Old Testament prophets to be fulfilled concerning the coming of the Messiah. But little did she know. Hallelujah. But little did she know that it would be through her. You see, that prophecy was given nearly 20 centuries ago. Not 20 years, 20 centuries ago. And now it's time for the miracle of miracles to occur. And now, that was just some of the background to put you into and the question that we asked. I hope that that answered, why did Jesus have to come? To redeem man, to make us all right, for God to be able to fellowship with us, for us to be able to go to God for ourselves. All that was taken away in the Garden of Eden by Adam. All of it had left. But God had a master plan, and I thank him for it. Hallelujah. Mark, the first chapter, 26 through the 29th verse. And it reads, and then the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And 27 said, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin name was Mary. 28. And the angel came and said unto her, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know how the Catholic religion say a rosary? Hail Mary, Mother of God, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about where did they get it from, but here you see where that came from. That's what the angel Gabriel told God about Mary, that God had favor with her. And that's the words that they say it. So I just want you to know the Catholic religion didn't make that up. It says, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That's the 28th chapter in the first, the 28th verse in the first chapter of Luke. And then the 29th verse read, and when she saw him, she was troubled at that saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this could be. You see, the angel had came to Mary, and it was in a 6 month. And you would say, why are they using a 6 month? Well, if you read some of the chapters, some of the verses before, and even some back, the 6 months represent the stage of pregnancy for Mary's cousin Elizabeth. You see, Elizabeth was married to Zachariah, who was a priest. They was righteous before God, and they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were stricken in years. Zachariah had been praying for a child, and the angel appeared to him and let him know that God had heard his prayer, and Elizabeth would bear him a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And I put this explanation in here so you could understand it, and you got that sometime connect the dots. You see, that John they was talking about right there was John the Baptist. And those who know anything about John the Baptist, he was the one that was preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Because, you see, John the Baptist started in the New Testament. And for those who know, the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament was 400 years. And the people were waxed cold, and they was doing anything that was seeming right in their eyes. And when God got ready to send his son, he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way, to soften the hearts and get them ready to receive the newborn king. See, God make provision, and he don't leave us stuck out. And he knew they needed help, because you see, without a vision, the people are perishing. Without a leader, the people will fail. And John the Baptist came with a message from God talking about the one that was going to come. He kept preaching about repent and be baptized. He was baptizing people, and they were coming to him, and they began to believe, and God was going to send his son. He sent him to prepare the way. You see, the virgin, who was Mary, was engaged to Joseph. And the scripture says, and you know, when you read that in the 27th verse, they say Joseph of the house of David. Wonder why they wrote that? I would ask myself. But the reason they wrote that, and it's an important fact because it identifies Joseph, and they called David, when they said his name, they say of the house of David, because the Bible teaches us that Jesus would come from a legal and royal linkage, and that would happen through Joseph. Now, you wonder why Joseph married. You wonder why Joseph was chosen. You see, when God do something, it is well done. And it was prophesied, he had made a promise to Abraham that his linkage would never die. And he was fulfilling that prophecy at this time as well. And Joseph played more parts than you would know. And you know Joseph was a direct descendant of David. And you could see why Joseph was necessary for this puzzle. Hallelujah. Nothing can happen unless God orchestrate or allow. Here we see God's plan for Jesus' birth. Everything was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. And now it's time to fulfill. Let us look at Joseph. He was a man of integrity, a descendant of David, a carpenter, a person sensitive to God's guidance and willing to do God's will, no matter what the consequences. No special help, no special wealth, no special status, and God used him. You see, God honors integrity. You know, with God, social positions is of little importance when God want to use you for his glory and honor. It's little importance. And you have to remember that. If God be for you, who could be against you? And God has a design purpose for each and every one of us. And we have to realize it. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a season. God chose all of us for his perfect reason. You got to know it. You know, God gave us example in the book, and when we look at Joseph, you want to say, well, how he get to be Jesus' stepfather, and why was he with Mary? Because God decided it to be that way. No more, no less. Now let us look at Mary. The scripture says she was a young woman and a virgin. You know, if I did a lot of research on her age, and I found everything between 12 and 15. But you know, back then, people got married very young. But the Bible says, and they say don't put in and take out, but the Bible says she was a young woman and that she was a virgin. She was a righteous woman, and favor was granted to her by God. Mary was an ordinary human who God chose to do extraordinary things. Jesus received the nature of his mother, the human nature of his mother, Mary, and the sinless divine nature of his father, God himself. Mary was just like anyone else. Mary had a sinful nature, because remember, we were the seed of Abraham. We were the seeds of Adam. And everything, once sin entered the world, it was here. And we gained the sinful nature. And Mary had one too. And you see, even because she had a sinful nature and understand the word of God, you see, she was in need of a Savior, and she was in need of Jesus Christ herself. You see, the angel said that the Lord was with her. One thing you could always count on, if that God give you something to do, he will always be right there with you. See, the angel told Mary that the Lord was with her. That's in the scripture. The angel stated that Mary was highly favored. When Mary obeyed God, she received his favor. You know, God said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. God said that Mary was highly favored. And we know that she received the favor of man. You see, because there's two parts to favor. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the favor of God. But what God does in your acts of obedience, and the more you rely on him, he grants you the gift of favor of man. You see, some things that you need favor for, you know, it's got to come from man. You know, you might need a notice, a extension on your light bill. And, you know, you done already got the two, but you go there, and this nice person say, I don't supposed to do it, but I'm going to do it. You see, God touched the hearts and the minds of people to bestow favor on you. So that's called the favor of man. But see, God said that Mary was highly favored, but she also received the favor of man. You see, because she have honor through all eternity. And she's the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mary set the example for us. You see, even though Mary was going to bear Jesus, she knew she wasn't no big I, no little you. She knew she had a designed purpose for designed season coming from God, and God owned everything. She knew she was a servant of God. You see, Mary set an example for us, directing her worship, admiration, and praise to God. You know, Mary made a statement, and she said, my soul glorifies that the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. Talking about herself. I'm just, you know, me, and he decided to do this with me. And then she said, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Oh, the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. That is found in the book of Luke, the first chapter 46 and 49. You see, you got to remember this. This is one thing you have to remember. You have to remember and realize that it's never about who we are, but what God has done and is doing and will do in and through us. You see, Mary was yielding. This attitude is reflected in her last recorded words. You know, the last recorded words that you could find in the Bible from Mary states this. She said, whatsoever he, talking about Jesus, her son, say unto you, she said, just do it. That's in the book of John, the second and the fifth verse. I think that was during a time when they had the wedding and they ran out of wine, and the people came to Mary, and Mary went to Jesus. And the men came and said, what should we do? She said, whatever he tell you to do, that's what you do. And that's the attitude we have to take in our lives. We got to get to that point sometime. Whatever Jesus tell us to do, then we should just do it. And we're going to go to the 30th verse. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Ooh, that sounds so good. Do you wonder if the things that you do in life, God could find, you know, God could find favor in it? You have to answer the question for yourself. And 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. There's a Hebrew word, I think, for Jesus that's Joshua. And you have to look at these things and know these simple things of the Bible when you read it, and you can make the connection. You see, Joshua was the one that brought the children of Israel to the promised land when they crossed the Red Sea. Even though Moses had got them to the water, or got them to the place, he wasn't allowed to go in, and Joshua took him over, which says God deliver his people. And Joshua, they say his name, Joshua and Jesus, and I think his Hebrew is Joshua, because Jesus is going to deliver his people into eternity. God delivers. And if we look at the 31st verse, say, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him a throne of his father's David. And 33 said, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Come on now. You see, all of this is the stuff that was prophesied by the prophets in the Old Testament. Like, you know, all of them had something to say about Jesus. The Old Testament, if you really know and you really recognize, it was pointing to the coming of Jesus. It was pointing to the coming of Jesus and who he would be and what he would do and why he would do it and who he would do it for. The prophecy. You see, Mary was fearful as she thought about the pain. She thought about peer pressure and how they would ridicule her. You know, Joseph, her fiance, when he find out, he probably want to leave her. You know, the prophecy said that the Messiah, and the angel gave us some information, and she remembered the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah for all the years of her teaching in the temples. The prophecy said that the Messiah would be rejected, murdered, and died. You see, so Mary said, well, if I'm going to have the Messiah, and he's going to be my son, you know, I got to realize and wait for some time for him to be murdered. Would mother look forward to her son's death? And what person at the young age, like the Bible said, a young woman? And, you know, back then it was a big deal. You know, you get pregnant now, you know, well, you're pregnant. But back then, if you got pregnant before you was married, you became an outcast. Your father had the legal right to dismiss you. See, so Mary had to deal with all of this, but she still listened to what the angel had to say. You see, sometimes God has given us something and it seemed too hard. We stop listening. We stop thinking about what is being said because we already decide we can't do it, we won't do it, we don't want to do it, we don't want to do it that way. You see, if sorrow weighs you down and dim your hope, think of Mary and wait patiently for God to finish the work and his plans that he has for you. Let God finish his work. Don't keep stopping in the mainstream. You see, Gabriel said his name shall be called Jesus and gave Mary some indication of the magnitude and purpose of Jesus' life. You see, Jesus would have authority as a political, religious, and a family leader. You see, the writings of Luke wants to inform his readers that the child had to come into the world in a unique and special way, and his life course would be unique and special. Remember, I'm talking about Dr. Luke. And isn't it amazing how God chose Luke, which was a doctor, to write down about the birth? Doctors know all about birth. And he used Luke because back then if Luke was respected and Luke saying that this thing could happen and put scripture to match it, then they might believe. You see, centuries earlier, God had promised David that his kingdom would last forever. It's in the book of Samuel, the second book of Samuel, the 7th and the 16th verse. See, God made that promise to David. And God never breaks his promises. Now, that was centuries ago before the coming of Jesus. You see, so we have to wait on it, and we have to wait on it, and we have to wait on it, and we have to trust, and we have to stand, and we have to wait for God to finish his plan. You see, this promise is now being fulfilled, and it's coming through Jesus because he's a direct descendant of David, and Joseph is as well, who is his legal father. And then now kingdom, David's kingdom will never end. And if we go to the 34th verse, they say, then Mary said unto the angel, how could this be, seeing I know not a man? 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I don't know about you, but when I used to always read the Son of God, I used to always wonder what it was about. I think I got a little bit more on it, and I know that is a preplex discussion with scholars, because, you know, I look it up in a lot of times, but I have something for you on the bottom, but you should search it and discover it for yourself. And 36 said, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, who is called barren. And 37, give me all the joy and the hope and everything to hold on to, because it says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Whatever you're going on, whatever you're going through in your life right now, all I could tell you is Luke, the first chapter and the 37th verse, for with God, all things are possible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, this was hard for Mary to conceive, but she continued to listen. She continued to listen. Watch this. And the more she heard, the more she believed. And you know what the scripture says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that faith comes by hearing. She kept listening. A young, unmarried girl who became pregnant risked disaster. Unless the father of the child agreed to marry her, she would probably remain unmarried for life. And if her father rejected her, she would be forced to begging or prostitution in order to earn a living. Then she would have to tell a story about being made pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Come on now, y'all. We don't have no more third floor because we don't have no more charity, but come on. By this process, we can't explain. Mary will find herself with child through no human participation. Hallelujah. Conceived by God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Jesus would have a sinless nature, though no less human due to that fact. And he will be called the Son of Man and the Son of God. And I think that's where it got it. They're getting it from the Son of Man, because he was born of a woman, and the Son of God because he have a sinless nature. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was born of a woman, he was a human being, but as the Son of God, Jesus was born without a trace of human sin. You see, Jesus is fully both human and fully divine. As a man, he understood our experiences and our struggle. You know, they say Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father on our behalf right now. As a man, he could understand our experiences and our struggle. And as God, he is able to work all things together for our good. What a mighty good God. What a mighty good Savior. What a mighty good Jesus Christ, our Lord, Master, Savior. He covered all of the bases. He understands all of our struggles and experience. And he had the power to work it all out together for our good. What more can we ask for? What more are we looking for? You see, and even with God giving Mary this awesome task and all of the struggles and adversities and the trials and tribulations that was going to come up against her for it, you see, God don't leave you in the dark. And you see, when God gives you something, you know, he gives us a little confirmation. You see, for confirmation, the angel told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth was going to have a child. Elizabeth was old, and as the Bible says, she was barren. So it's not likely that all of a sudden Elizabeth would be having a child. So if Elizabeth is pregnant and the angel told Mary, she knew it was of God. So she said, okay. You see, God allowed her seed, God allowed her to see that he could do what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, for whoever he wanted, because he is God. Everything created, everything was created by God. And God has the power, the strength, and the ability, and he deserved the honor, the glory, and the praise. And he is the one, and he got the right to use all of it any way he wants to use for his honor and glory. Give God the praise. And you see the 38th verse, as I'm getting ready to close, say, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She was talking about herself. Be it unto me according to thy word. You see, and the angel departed from her. See, at that point, Mary listened. God provided what she needed. She listened and her faith grew, and then she believed. So you see, when we got down to the 38th chapter, Mary said, I'm just your handmaid. Be unto me, that's, you know, use me, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. See, the angel was finished with the task that was set before him. You see, despite the possible risk, when Mary said that she didn't know about the tremendous opportunity she was going to have, she just couldn't conceive, you know, all of the possibilities and opportunities that she would have because of what God was going to use up for. That's the same thing in our lives. You know, sometimes if we listen and we hear what the Lord is saying and we do that, we can't understand the tremendous opportunities we would have in our lives. You see, because God is a God, and I believe we're living in a dispensation of time where there's no excuses. We're not going to be able to sit before God and say, why you didn't give me more? He said, because you didn't go get it. Why I wasn't smarter, he said, because you didn't take time to read the book. You see, God is doing his part, and God is not short of his word. You see, we got to sometime put the work in. We got to change the things that's not right so that we could have better success. You know, the world teaches us that we are our own worst enemies. If what we're doing in our lives is not working for us now, I suggest you stop and do it different. Will it hurt? Yes. Change is difficult. Change hurts. But Mary said, whatever he say, do it. She only knew that she was asked to serve him. And she willingly obeyed. Here we see that Mary is saying, have your way with me, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm your servant, Lord. Do as you please. Come on now. Even though I don't fully understand it, I trust your plan, Lord. I mean, you know, Mary had got to that point by the 38th verse. She said, because, you know, be it unto me according to thy word. Hear my Lord, your handmaid. Mary is saying that I surrender all, because all to you I owe. When you know that you have heard a word from the Lord, don't wait to see the bottom line before offering yourself to God. Offer yourself to God even when the outcome seems disastrous. Let the plan of God fully work out. And I'm going to close with this. Even though a man messed up, God had a plan to fix up. God knew that God knew what Adam and Eve would do. He did not orchestrate it. He didn't play part in it, but he knew it. Because he knew everything. So he knew it. You see, and everything we will ever need, remember this, y'all, God got it. What I'm asking you tonight is that if you would just believe it, trust it, and learn how to enjoy the fact that Jesus, God, our Lord, Savior, and Master is in control. And he is working it out for your good. And that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, I'm asking that if anyone have a question, a concern, words of encouragement, at this time you may press the one button on your telephone. And I'll open a mic, and you could say whatever you would like to say. You know, we just ended the Thanksgiving season, and you know, Thanksgiving is a time when we sometimes focus ourselves on being thankful for the things and the people and hopefully our relationship with God, you know. And Thanksgiving is a time when we being thankful, and Christmas is no different. But, you know, we have to focus our sight on Jesus Christ and what he did and what he's doing and what he's going to do in and through our lives, because Jesus is the true reason for the Christmas season. So I pray that even though this is the first part of December, that we walk through the whole month of December realizing and recognizing who God is and who Jesus Christ is, and give honor to the Holy Ghost as well, our comforter and our guide, because we can't make it without him. And we ought to stop trying to fool ourselves. We, you know, we're not perfect, but we should be pressing for the mark of the high calling to do better. We have to be grateful, because they say one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. You know, and we live under grace, and we could never earn it. We weren't good enough to get it. You got to remember, if one man could be good enough to earn grace, then all men would have to be able to earn it as well. But God in his ultimate, God in his awesome wisdom knew that we couldn't do it. And that's why, from even in the lesson going all the way back to Genesis 3, when man had fell and God had just created in the first and second chapter. Hallelujah. But God had a plan. In the night lesson, we see how the execution began. And he used those characters. Mary. You think Mary was the only virgin back then? You know, the Bible tells us that she had a sinful nature, because Jesus hadn't come and take away the sins of the world. But God chose her. You know, you think she was the most faithfulest virgin back then? The point I'm making here is God chooses who he wants. You know, and some of the choosing that he do with us is because he know our heart, and he know that we will be able to accomplish, or we would accept the task that he's putting before us. You see, God knew Joseph's heart. And even though it was a bad thing, and you know, that's a hard pill for a man to swallow, that his fiance is pregnant and he know he didn't have sex. But God didn't leave Mary stuck out there. He sent an angel to Joseph. Joseph said, okay, I got it now. And Joseph stuck with her, and he married her so she wouldn't have shame and disgrace. You know, God ain't going to set you up there and just leave you hanging out there. See, that's what the devil do. The devil come to the party. He dance with you. He talk with you. He hold your hand. He give you them little seconds of gratification. And then he leave you hanging out. And you can look to the left and the right to see where your sin partner is, and you can't find him. You see, Satan set you up and leave you stuck out. But what God does, he calls you, and then he provides all of the provisions necessary for you to accomplish. You know, last week, lesson said, God said, this is what I need you to do, but this is how you're going to do it. Come on now. That's a mighty good God. And that's why I love him so. So, as always, it's now 9:23. No one has pressed the button that they would like to talk, make a comment, or pray. Okay, someone pressed the button, and I'm going to open the mic. 281-809, you have the mic.
Hi.
Hello, Tamika.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and you, darling?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking. And I wanted to tell all the listeners good evening. And I do have a request. I wanted to know, what can I read daily for about a month or so to help me with what's going on with my day-to-day struggles? And I don't know if it's called like a fast, but I want some things to change in my life. So is there any particular verses or a book that you can refer me to?
Okay, as a general rule of thumbs, all of it is good.
Okay.
But a lot of times people like to stick to the Psalms or the Proverbs for general reading, because the book of Psalms, it's plenty of it is songs, real songs, and some of it is poems and things like that. But the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and it's going to give you instructions what not to do, and if you do what you shouldn't do, what's going to happen. So that would be a good part, too. And the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon, which was the wisest man to ever live until this day. And whenever you read something in the Bible and the end of it say, till this day, that means there will be none above that. So when they speak of Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, they say he was the wisest man until this day. So there has never been since Solomon anyone wiser. So the book of Proverbs is a good, easy read, and the book of Psalms is also a good, easy read.
Okay.
So I would suggest you either go in the book of Psalms and or the book of Proverbs, and I think that's a great place for you to start with your 30-day fast.
Okay.
And call us back and let us know how you're doing with it. You know,
okay.
And if anybody else want to join Tamika for a 30-day fast, you know, in the month of December would be a good thing. What? How you fasting, Tamika?
What I want to do, I want to give up something, and I was going to call you later to give me some insight on it, to really, like, get into it, because I don't know the Bible. I want to get to know the Bible. I had joined church back in March, I believe, and I was going up until July, and I stopped going. So I want to get back into going to church. I want to continue to call in and join you weekly for the Bible study, because I shared with you last week how much of an impact it has been having on me and what I'm learning from it and the way that you break things down and I'm able to understand, because I never had nobody to do it in such a way. So I want to be able to do something, give something up and incorporate something else to be able to do the fast and to read the verses. So are you able to share that with me now? Do you want me to call you after?
No, not really. Let me tell you about fasting. Okay, when the Bible teaches about fasting, fasting is a way to let God know that you're going to be dedicating yourself to him for this specific time. Because, you know, our busy schedule, we get up and we might say a prayer in the morning or we say a prayer while we're driving. But with fasting, you establish specific things that you're going to do. In other words, that's a sacrifice. Okay? And God honors that. So you decide what you want to give up.
Okay.
And whatever you do, just do it, and then you decide the time frame.
Okay.
Because it would be a sacrifice for you to do it, you know, at that time.
Okay.
And then, you know, you go forward like that, and you always be prayerful, and you pray about what you want to receive from God.
Okay.
But, you know, I'll talk to you about it again tonight or tomorrow, and we could go into some more specifics.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Tamika.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.
And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. And I have a beautiful short song by Sonny Norfolk that's a Christmas song as well. But I'm going to go ahead and, no, I'm going to play the record. I'm going to play the short record first because it's short. And after that, I'll say a prayer. And then we'll close out for the night. And here it goes, Sonny Norfolk. Wasn't that beautiful? That was Sonny Norfolk, Smokey Norfolk with Old Holy Night. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and say the prayer because it is now 9:31. I try to stick as close to the one-hour time frame as I can. But again, I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that you all came by and we fellowship in a word together. And I want you to know that that's the beginning of the lessons for this month. You see, I talked about why Jesus had to come and how did he present it, how did God start out his master plan and why he did it. And we're going to move all the way up to the birth, which will be the week before Christmas because Christmas is on a Wednesday. So I pray that you stay tuned Wednesday after Wednesday and we're going to walk out this whole plan of God for salvation through his only begotten son. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your master plan that you had before the foundation of the world. Thank you for including me in the plan, little old me, just like you did Mary and you did Joseph and you did King David and you did King Solomon. You included me in that plan, dear God, not because I was worthy, but because you are so faithful. And I say thank you. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon Tamika, dear God. Search her heart, dear God. She's trying and she want to get closer to you. And you said, anyone who seek you, you will be found. You say, anyone that thirsts for you, you will feel quench their thirst. You said that if you knock and they open the door, you will come in. Heavenly Father, allow your Holy Spirit to speak to her and give her the ears that she can hear. Hallelujah. Grant whatever she's asking for, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And let us know that it's not always our will or our wants, but your will. And when we ask for something, dear God, we know the answer could be okay, yes, not now, and maybe never. And let us accept it and say, oh, well, because if this is the will of God, then I must be all right with it. Lord, I'm leaning and depending on you, and I'm looking for you as you unfold the stories for the rest of the month about your son coming into the world, dear God. Hallelujah. Lord, bless everyone that's listening in on the phone tonight. Anybody with a situation, problem, or circumstance that's in his life, let them know that you're in control and you got it. Let us take it to the altar and leave it there, because if you're going to pray, don't worry, and if you're going to worry, don't pray. Lord, we're going to just call upon your mighty name, Jesus, because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue going to confess Jesus at some point or some time in their lives. Lord, I thank you for the callers that called in, dear God. Bless their homes and their children, dear God. Bless their finances, their health, dear God. Bless their mind that it won't go astray, dear God. Give them peace in a time of a storm. Lord, I thank you for the lesson tonight. I thank you for the writer, Luke, who allowed himself to be used by you to bring us this elegant, beautiful word about the coming of the Messiah. Lord, I thank you for all things, and I realize because of you, all things are. Lord, we need you. We can't make it without you. Let us set our sights on the things of God. Because no matter what we do, no matter what we achieve, no matter what we have, no matter what we get, no matter what we don't get, only what we do for Christ will last. And Lord, I'm asking all these blessings in your darling son Jesus' name for all our sake. Amen, dear God. Thank God. And thank you, Jesus. And thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. And that's our lesson for tonight. If someone is still listening, that son in Norfolk was so beautiful. I thought I could get it right back. But this Jennifer Hudson, Oh Holy Night. Not really. It didn't come on. But as always, I just want to say thank you. And that's the end of the program tonight. God be with you and also with me until we meet again. Thank you and good night.